IOI, but our friends call us Indy 101.5. Live from Hamilton.
Simon,
I believe Run's House.
That would be, of course, be Run DMC, Run DMC, and Jam Master Jay, late great Jam Master Jay.
Late great, yes.
Coming to us from the film Crush Groove, which, if you haven't seen it, is an old school hip hop classic film. It's actually a pretty bad movie, but it's a lot of fun, mostly just the music.
Yeah. So, and we're featuring record companies and record stores this week because just this past week, so it's Monday night now, and just this past weekend on Friday was Record Store Day here in North America. And so we're going to feature songs from movies that feature record stores and records and
companies
and things like that. So, Crush Groove, about a record company, fits right in there. And of course, we never pass up a chance to play a little Run DMC.
That is very, very true.
By the way, I don't know that we've mentioned that this is Mark and Simon's Soundtrack Show on Indie 101.5.
If you hadn't figured out at least the last part, you probably couldn't figure out a radio dial. So,
well, maybe, but you know, maybe we've got a new listener this week that's never tuned in before.
And so, if that's true, thank you. You join the
several people that listen.
Yes,
several people, including myself and Mark. Occasionally, we listen to the show. Anyway, we're going to play another one from Crush Groove coming up. What is it, Mark?
It would be the Fat Boys.
Fat Boys.
All You Can Eat from Crush Groove.
Right here on Mark and Simon's Soundtrack Show on Indie 101.5. Yeah.
B. We're gonna walk inside and guess what's up? Put the food on my plate, add some coke in my cup. Give me some chicken, flakes, fries, and then pass me a lettuce of a passing by. So keep shoveling onto my plate. You give me some sweets and a lot of cake. Give me some hot macaroni and cheese. Give me some more food, please. Give me some bologna, salami, and ham. Toast with butter and strawberry jam. I love it whether the food is cold or hot. Put a burger on the plate and it'll hit the spot. We'll eat everything at an incredible feast. $3.99 for all you can eat.
All you can eat. All you can eat. All you can eat. All you can eat.
Fat Boys there for you for this Monday night. All You Can Eat. And this is, of course, Mark and Simon's soundtrack show.
Yeah. The Fat Boys, I got to tell you, they were like underappreciated. They came out kind of like a novelty act because they were big dudes and, you know, they were called the Fat Boys. And
they rapped about food.
They rapped about food. But I mean, they were actually really, really talented rappers and beatboxers and really influential on the early hip hop sounds for sure.
That human beatbox guy was always amazing to me.
Yeah, he's crazy. He's one of the original like real beatboxers, you know what I mean? Like that actually made it into what it is today for sure. All right, so we can't do a tribute to Record Store Day without playing some music from High Fidelity, which actually takes place in a record store. So that's one starring John Cusack. There's also a TV show. I think there's only one season of it by the same name. That's kind of a that came out in the last couple of years with Zoe Kravitz.
Okay.
Yeah, who our listener may know as the current Catwoman, and she Zoe Kravitz is Lisa Bonet's daughter, and Lisa Bonet was in the original High Fidelity movie, I believe.
Oh yes, yes she was.
We're not going to play anything from the TV show because Mark or I, neither of us have seen it, and we've got lots of other stuff to get through, but we are going to play some songs from the John Cusack movie, High Fidelity.
Starting, of course, with The Velvet Underground and Oh Sweet.
Right here on Mark and Simon Soundtrack Show on Indie 101.5.
Not the shirt From his feet, and threw the poor boy out.
Jack Black, they're doing Marvin Gaye.
From the movie High Fidelity.
There you go. Not too bad.
Yeah. Good job, Jack. Nice work. All right. We're going to move on with some more tunes here on our Record Store Day tribute from Empire Records.
Starting with this one. It's a little Flying Lizards and Money. That's what I want.
Don't we all?
Yes, that's true.
In life for free, but you can give them to the birds and bees. I want money. That's what I want. That's what I want. That's what I want. Your love gives me such a thrill, but your love won't pay my bills. I want money. Get everything, it's true. What it don't get, I can't use. I want money. Just
ACDC, If You Want Blood, You've Got It. That comes to us from Empire Records. And Iron Man 2.
Right on. And we're here on Mark and Simon Soundtrack Show. We're doing our Record Store Day tribute song, songs from movies that feature record stores in them.
Now, for the younger listeners who only know what Spotify and YouTube are, what is a record store?
Well, a record store is a store where they sell records.
Interesting.
And a record is, well, and you know, sometimes they would sell CDs and tapes too, but a record is a round, usually 12-inch disc made of vinyl.
Usually black.
Usually black, but not always. You put it on a record player, sometimes called a turntable.
It's very technical.
Yes. Anyway, we're being mean too. Actually, you know, record stores. Well, we're gonna have a little interview with a record store owner coming up shortly. So I'll let him explain about that. But records are really making a comeback. Vinyl actually outsold CDs, I think, by a large portion. Like in the last few years, vinyls best-selling physical music media right now.
And it's not just for hipsters either.
No. All right. So we're going to move along with some music. This next one is not actually doesn't actually feature a record store per se. So we're going to play That Thing You Do by The Wonders from the movie That Thing You Do, which is one of my favorite movies. It's Tom Hanks' first directorial debut, I guess, debut, yeah. And he's in it as well. It sort of tells the story of a band called The Wonders that sort of, you know, makes it big, and then they just have their one-hit wonder. It's a really cool movie. It's all fictional, but I'm sure that I think Tom Hanks wrote it too. When he was writing it, he was obviously, you know, thinking about the Beatles and Elvis and some of their some of the stories about those guys, because he kind of incorporates things that happened in real life to other people into his fictional band's biography, and it really shows a realistic way the way that artists were treated by the record companies and the whole vibe of things happening. So even though it's a totally fictional story, it's somewhat educational, I think, too, as well. Anyway, at one point, the Wonders, they make a record, and they're selling it in the drummer, his father owns an appliance store, and he convinces his father to sell these records in the appliance store. So anyway, and they do sell hi-fis and turntables at the appliance store, too. So I guess it is a record store in kind of a way. So anyway, here we go. That Thing You Do by The Wonders.
Mark and Simon Soundtrack Show, Indy 101.5.
You never even knew about the heartache. you've been dancing with all over the neighborhood. So why didn't you ask me, baby? Or didn't you think I could? Well, I know that the boogaloo is out of sight, but the shingling's a thing tonight. But if that was you and me, I'd have, baby, I would have shown you how to do it right. Do it right.
Uh-huh.
Do it right. Do it right.
Do it right.
Do it right. Twist it. Shake it, shake it, shake it, shake it, baby. Have it for loop-de-loop. Shake it out, baby. Have it for loop-de-loop.
Bend over, let me see you shake it till feather. Bend over, let me see you shake it till feather. Come on, let me see you shake it till feather.
I can't believe you have to ask me how much time was left in this song.
I wasn't paying attention, which is bad of me anyway. So, of course, we were just listening to Ray Charles and the Blues Brothers from the Blues Brothers movie, Shake Your Tail Feather. Not really in a record store.
Music store.
It wasn't a music store. So
Ray's Music Exchange in Calumet City, Illinois.
Yep, for sure. That building burned down, apparently, a couple years ago.
Oh.
Yeah, unfortunately.
So what was it actually?
It was a bunch of different things. I don't know that it was ever a music store, but it was a bunch of different things. You can Google it.
Okay.
It's fairly well documented, apparently. Anyway, I also want to mention, last set we were listening to some songs from Empire Records, which starred Liv Tyler.
Yes.
And then we listened to The Wonders from That Thing You Do, which also had Liv Tyler in it. So that was a pretty good segue that we did there. Totally not on purpose. Anyway.
No, it was on purpose. We put that much thought into these songs.
Yes. So speaking of thought, though, we did put a little bit of thought into today's show, being our Record Store Day tribute. Again, Record Store Day just passed when you're listening to this. It hasn't happened yet when we're recording this, but it will have happened when you're listening to this. So it was the 23rd of April. To kind of get the scoop on a Record Store Day and record stores in general, first of all, let me just give a shout out to the local record stores that I know. I'm going to miss some, but in Hamilton, we've got Into the Abyss on Locke Street. We've got Dr. Disc on Wilson Street. Out in Caledonia, we have Second Chance Records. And those are the only ones I frequent. Unfortunately, some of the other ones that I used to frequent have closed. I will talk about that a little later.
R.I.P. Cheapies.
Yes, yes. Actually, I'm going to tell a little story about Cheapies later in the show, but right now, we're going to talk about Records on Wheels, which is in Dundas. And Mike Klassen, the owner of Record Store, Records on Wheels, gave us some time. And he and I talked a little bit about record stores and Record Store Day. And we're going to let you listen to that right now.
This is Indie 101.5. But you knew that already. We're Hamilton's home for alternative.
All right, we're here with Mike Klassen from Records on Wheels in Dundas, a real record store owner on our record store tribute show. Mike, how are you doing today? Thanks for being with us.
I'm doing good. Thanks a lot.
Awesome. So as I mentioned, you own Records on Wheels in Dundas. Could you tell us a little bit about the history of your store and, you know, how long you've owned it, what, how it came to be in existence, when it opened, all that kind of stuff?
Sure. Well, originally Records on Wheels started by two Italian brothers who actually took a school bus, took all the seats out and drove around Ontario to different fairs and events and sold records out of the bus. And then in the mid to late 70s, they started a store, I don't know the exact, but on Yonge Street in Toronto. And then they started franchising out. So we were actually, in 1979, we were one of the first 10 or 11 franchises in Southern Ontario. And I'm the third owner. I took it over in 1985, although I worked at the store since 82. So yeah, I've owned it since 1985. And we were across the street in a very small location for 9 years, till 1988. And then in 88, I moved it to our current location across the street and up a bit, which is about 1,500 square feet. And we've been here for 34 years? I can't even count anymore. I think it's 34 this year.
That's awesome. I didn't know that about the records, the record bus. I mean, I've known about your store, like, since I can remember. I've known it's there, but I didn't know that about the bus. That's super cool. So why do you think stores like yours still exist even today with all the streaming and Spotify and Apple Music? Why do you think record stores are still in existence, and even some are, new ones are still opening?
Well, it's, a lot of it certainly has to do with the actual format of records, which have always sort of, you know, even though records were gone for a long time, there's always been a love for records. I think it has to do with, for some stores, how long you've been around, that people will always come and support you. But I think it also has a lot to do with the fact that people, no matter what comes along, always like physical product as well. They like the interaction with, you know, whether it's a CD or record, more so with records, I believe. You know, just having it, looking at the cover, interacting with, you know, the liner notes, and just sitting there and looking at the pictures while you're listening, and all that kind of thing you can't do, you know, when you're streaming. I mean, you're streaming, you're not really looking at anything except for your phone and maybe a few little pictures of the record, but it, it doesn't have the same kind of connection. And then there's also, you know, all of the tactile experience of handling a record and cleaning it and the beautiful look of it going around your platter. So I think it's just a matter of people reconnecting with physical product, and certainly some of it has to do with sound, and that's an argument that can, you know, it's endless what people will argue about, whether a CD sounds better streaming or records, but a lot of people believe that a good record on a good system, because it was meant to be listened to that way, will sound better than anything else. So that's, I think, a lot of it has to do with that, you know.
Right on. I definitely agree that, I don't know, you could debate whether one is better than another, but there's, I don't think there's any debate that a record sounds different than streaming.
Oh, for sure.
And it definitely has some qualities that are better. So as I mentioned, we're playing songs on our show that were featured in movies and TV shows that featured record stores. And in a lot of these movies, like, record stores are shown as like this hip, cool place to hang out. And there's like a community involved in it. Do you have any like stories or anecdotes you want to share of like a time you were hanging out at the store, or even another record store, where something cool happened or something crazy happened?
Oh, wow. I don't know if I have one particular event in mind. I think overall it's just, you know, whether it's been me that's, as a teenager, going to Toronto and Hamilton and going to so many cool stores where, you know, it's always the stores where the guys own the stores that are really into music. I've never liked the corporate stores, because I've always found, although there's people that sometimes work there that are really into music, they just don't have the feel of an independent shop that's owned by a guy or a girl who's been really into music, doing their thing, kind of, you know. And there's just endless numbers of record stores I was in when I was a kid, and when I was, you know, 10, 11, 12, right through my teenage years, whether it was in a small town or whether it was in downtown Toronto, that you know, the guys who ran it were really cool. They knew all about music, and that's sort of what appeals to a lot of people. And that's, you know, a lot of cool people in the stores as well, customers chatting it up about music and their experiences. And it's just kind of been an ongoing thing, you know. I mean, I'm sure there's been some really weird things that have happened for sure, but I think overall it's just the experience. And you know, I can still remember going to Star Records in Hamilton when I was in my teens, and if I didn't know what a record was, I'd go up to the counter and ask one of the guys there, whether it was Bob Bryden or his staff or whatever, and somebody would always be, you know, able to tell me something about the record. And if they couldn't, there was probably somebody in the store that jumped in and said, "Hey, yeah, I've got this. It's great," or whatever, you know.
Yeah, and right on.
I don't think you get that in a lot of corporate stores, and I'm not knocking corporate stores, but you know, they have their place. But it's just not the same.
Yeah,
you know, I think that's one of the things that keeps stores like ours alive too, is that you can converse with people and discuss music and know what you're talking about.
Are there even any corporate stores left? Record stores?
Well, the Sunrise chain.
Oh, okay.
They're the only one. They're the only chain in Canada. And other than that, I think down in the States there might still be, but I'm not really too familiar with with whether there's chains down there or not. A lot of them have gone. A lot of them have disappeared. A lot of the chains.
It's crazy to think there's no more HMV and no more Tower Records and stuff like that. Just is all gone, or they were so huge at one point. But it's kind of, in a way, it's kind of good, I guess, for stores like yourself, you kind of, they're gone, but you're still here to fill that niche for people, right? So
sure, yeah. I mean, you know, any time a big corporation disappears like that, it's good for the little guys, no doubt about it. But in one way, you know, we're not really competing in the same way as well. I found a lot of the corporate stores and the big box stores, even places like Best Buy's and Future Shops, they never really cater to the same kind of hardcore music enthusiasts that we do. You know, it was all about the pop music and selling thousands and thousands of it, rather than the one really good, you know, ambient or folk album that maybe not as many people want, but if you have a few thousand things like that, that's when you get people coming to you. And that's, I think, where the longevity comes in, where you outlast those kind of stores, because you have a much wider knowledge and selection and that kind of thing, you know.
Yeah, right on. All right. So it was just recently Record Store Day in Ontario. We broadcast on Monday night, so we just are a couple of days out. It was this past weekend. Can you just tell anybody who doesn't know what Record Store Day is, please?
Yeah, Record Store Day started, I hope I'm right with this number, I believe it was 15 years ago. And it started in the States, and it was a very small community of independent retailers that basically just wanted to celebrate what we've been talking about, being an independent, small retailer, a brick-and-mortar kind of store. And I don't know how many stores initially got involved, but they just wanted to have a day where they celebrated being that store. And, you know, they had in-store bands playing, and then small record labels got involved and said, "Hey, if you guys are celebrating being an independent store, we'll make you a special record on that day, just for that day." And it just sort of blossomed and snowballed to the point where now it's a worldwide phenomenon that happens twice a year, once in April, once in November. The November one being a smaller one on Black Friday, and the April one being the big one. And it's literally all over the world now. There's different countries have different product. There's one in Japan. There's one in Germany. There's one in Britain. There's the States. There's us. There's lots of other places that celebrate that day. And, you know, huge lineups, lots of people. And the record companies have all got involved to the point where now, at this point for Record Store Day, we just had 411 titles that were made by the record companies and labels for just that day. And it's getting a little out of hand, to be honest with you. It's getting too overwhelming to be able to stock all that product and do all that ordering. So my personal feeling is I wish they'd dial it back a bit and maybe make 100 or 150 releases instead of 411.
Everybody wants to be involved in a good thing, I guess, eh?
Yeah, everybody wants a piece of the action. Everybody wants to be involved, and it's just getting to be a little bit too much.
Right on. So a couple more things before we wrap up. One thing is at the top before we started our interview, you were telling me you had some experience previous to this with Indie 101.5. You want to just let our listener know a little bit about that?
Sure. Well, you know, I was always into music from when I was little. So going through high school, I was in some orchestras and bands. And when it came time to make a decision on my future, I was either going to be a professional musician in a classical orchestra kind of thing or get involved in the music industry in a different way. And radio always appealed to me. So I took the radio broadcasting course at Mohawk. And I got really involved with Mohawk Radio to the point where I actually won the Andy Award for that year. I don't know if they even still have those, but it was basically sort of, as you know, dedication to the radio station, and it was a media award kind of thing.
Cool.
So I was doing a lot of radio shows there, and I did production. I was the music director, and then when the station manager left to go to CFNY, Darren Wozlik, it was somebody else had to step in, and I was interviewed and hired for the position of station manager there, which I did for a year and a half. I never actually got into radio, and part of that was, there were two reasons for that. One was because of I was kind of disenchanted with the whole radio business. It wasn't quite what I wanted it to be and what I thought it would be. And the other reason is that the year that we graduated, the CBC laid off 1,500 employees across Canada.
Ouch.
And all of those employees basically took all the jobs in the radio station. So
oh, man.
Out of our entire class, I think that first year, one person got a job in radio, and they were basically connected to, let's just say, their father owned one of the radio stations.
Wow.
So it was kind of, you know, it was kind of like, what are you going to do? And I ended up running a Mohawk radio station for a year and a half, yeah.
Super. Well, welcome back to Mohawk Radio. Thanks so much for talking with us today. Before I let you go, let our folks know where they can find you exactly, please.
Yeah, we're at, you mean the shop?
Yeah.
Yeah, we're at 32 and 34 King Street East in Dundas, a small town right next to Hamilton. We're actually part of Hamilton, but yeah, right on the main drag in Dundas, small little town, and, you know, we're here for you.
Right on. We'll post something on our Facebook page if you want to get in touch with Records on Wheels and maybe pick up some of their leftover Record Store Day stock. Mike, again, thanks very much for taking the time to talk to us tonight. We'll let you go and have a great day.
No problem. My pleasure. You too.
Okay.
Can't get enough? Then listen online wherever you go. Indie1015.ca.
All right. So thanks again to Mike from Records on Wheels for taking the time to talk to us about record stores and Record Store Day.
Cheers, Mike. Thank you.
And all right, we're going to move on. So the next tune we're going to play is, I've got a little story to tell about this next tune.
All right.
So there's a movie that came out a few years back called The Future is Unwritten. It's about Joe Strummer. Joe Strummer was the lead singer and the creative genius, I'm going to say it, behind The Clash. And he later went on to have his own band called The Mascaleros. And this movie featured a clip of Joe playing in London for benefit for striking firefighters. And this was a special performance for a couple of reasons. One, because Mick Jones, the original lead guitarist of The Clash, joined Joe Strummer on stage for the first time in, I think, 20 years. And it also turned out to be Joe Strummer's last performance. He passed away a few months after he played this performance. So, and the song we're going to play, White Riot, was the last song of the night. So the record store connection for me is that we mentioned Cheapies earlier, which closed a couple years ago now. The last time I went into Cheapies, I just wanted to buy anything that was sort of like going to be like a memory of Cheapies, because it was a great store and one I frequented a lot when I was a kid. So they didn't have much left. They had this huge sale. So I was looking through the record store, the vinyl bins, and I found this record. It was two records. It was just in a plastic like record cover, had no cover. And it just said Joe Strummer on it. And I was just like, well, you know, and it was, I think it was, you know, $17, which was a good deal.
That's a steal.
I mean, that's how much it was on sale. Anyway, so I bought this thing, not having any idea really what it was. And as it turns out, what it was a bootleg of this concert that I just talked about in London. So it's actually a bootleg performance or a bootleg recording of Joe Strummer's final concert. So even though the movie didn't really have anything to do with the record store, I felt that it'd be a great thing to play just to sort of commemorate Cheapies in this record store day edition of our show.
You're reconciling it with a personal experience, yes. Which totally fits.
Yes. So anyway, so that's that. We're going to play White Riot by live. The Clash live with Joe Strummer and Mick Jones.
On Mark and Simon Soundtrack Show, Indie 115.
In the key of A. In the key of A. You know what? Luke Bullen. You know what? Wait. All right, in the key of A. Look at him.
More than lights filled our
right. So a little Death Cab for Cutie there on Mark and Simon's Soundtrack Show.
That's Northern Lights, the acoustic version.
And that was from an episode of the show, the Netflix show Titans, which I don't know if our listeners are familiar with the show. It's a pretty cool show, actually, about...
It's the Junior Justice League.
Yeah, well, the Titans is a DC comic, and it's basically all the sidekicks. So yes. Robin and Aqualad and
Wonder Girl,
and some others join in later on. A Beast Boy and Raven. Anyway,
Superboy.
Yep. So that's a great version of the Titans on Netflix. There, there's some great music, and there's one episode in particular which revolves quite extensively. The plot is sort of involves a record store. I also think this is – I want to mention this one too, because in the season 3 finale, Bruce Wayne is driving down the street in his limo, and they use King Street in Hamilton. And you can – and very clearly you can see the Payne Music sign, which is great. I used to work at Payne Music. Payne Music was a music store in Hamilton. It closed a few years back. But the sign is still there, and I think it's totally awesome that you can totally see it in this episode.
I love these shows for finding local landmarks. I guess later on in season 2, where Starfire's out in front behind a gas station, she's realizing that her powers aren't working anymore. They're flaking out on her. That's right. The gas station. It's the racetrack station on Barton Street, around the corner from my house.
Yeah, there's a lot of Hamilton landmarks in Titans.